We'll start 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Sounds like this is one of those priority one commands. And so then it says in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, this is good, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of prayer. And Lord, the blessing it has been in my life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that as we study this subject on this great matter of prayer, Lord, that we would, in each of our hearts, that you would heighten the importance of it and help us to spend more time praying. Help us spend more time communicating with you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to answer our prayers and bless, Lord, us through, Lord, this vehicle of prayer. I pray, Lord, it'll become a good, strong discipline in our lives. So use it, Lord. Use these Bible studies, Lord, just to motivate us and inspire and instruct us in this matter of prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. From time to time, I'll talk about the blessings of prayer. I believe there's 7 distinct blessings in the Bible that's connected with prayer, 7 blessings concerning prayer. And I want to cover those with us this morning. Number one, 7 blessings of prayer, the 7 blessings of prayer. Number one, you can pray. You can pray. I love this where we read in our verse, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And one of the most exciting things that we can teach a new convert is that because they now have Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know what? They can call God their Heavenly Father, and they can go directly to the Father in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, God invites us to pray, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We're talking about that one mediator between God and man, okay? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Folks, these are encouraging verses. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if you've received Christ as your personal Savior, you know what? You can pray to your Heavenly Father. By the way, if you've never been saved and you're lost, you can still pray. There's something called the sinner's prayer, amen? We might even do an entire lesson on that. But you know what? God longs to hear the prayer of someone who's come under Holy Spirit conviction, somebody that wants to receive Christ as their Savior. I mean, through the years, folks, I've gotten to lead scores and scores. I have no idea of people to Christ. One of the sweetest moments as you're leading someone to Christ is to just listen to them call out to God, just to ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I'm up here conducting invitations through the years, and, you know, sometimes as I'm listening to somebody else lead someone to the Lord, you know, the piano player will be playing, and the people are standing and waiting and praying, and then I'll hear that lost sinner begin to pray. And you know what? I never get used to it. I never get over it. And it's almost like getting saved all over again. It's not, but it takes you back to when you got saved. And I'm so thankful that God hears the prayer of repentance from the lost. But you know, once you are saved, all of a sudden you have this opportunity because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. You can pray. You can pray. This is so exciting. You can pray. You know, there's entire, you know, religions out there that tell their people that, you know what, they can't go directly to God. I mean, folks, one of the most terrible things about the doctrines that are taught in Catholicism is this whole idea that you have to go to a priest as a mediator, you know, that I have to go to a man and ask him to represent God for me. And many of them, you know, you either go to the priest or they say, go to Mary. Well, you know, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so why in the world, based on that scripture, how in the world can you teach a false doctrine that you're supposed to pray to Jesus's mother and then his mother will go tell him what you want? You know, let's get back to the word of God. You wonder, how can we get so far off? Well, when we begin to put as much stock in the traditions of men and the teachings of men as we do the word of God, this is how we get off into false doctrine. But you can pray. You can go directly to God. And so blessing number one, the seven blessings of prayer. Number one, you can pray. Number two, you can pray at any time. Boy, this is exciting. This helps us. Amen. There's not a scheduled time. There's not office hours. All right. When you go to pray, you don't get a recording during certain hours that says, sorry, you know, you'll have to wait till 8:30 tomorrow morning when we're open. You know, the Bible talks about the different times we can pray. It tells us we can come to God in the morning time. That's a good time to go to the Lord. Psalms 88:13, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. I think it's a great way to start the day. So you can pray in the morning. And then there's this wonderful verse, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Psalms 55:17. So you know what? We can go in the morning, we can go in the evening, we can go at noon. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we can go to the Lord at night. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he, talking about Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in an all-night prayer meeting or an extensive prayer meeting in the nighttime hours, but Jesus did that. He had that discipline from time to time. There was always a specific reason connected with his all-night prayers. You know, I had a teenage boy get saved years ago, and he got all excited, and I love the zeal of a new Christian. But after we went soul winning one Thursday night, he said, hey, Brother Jerry, he said, why don't we just stay here at the church and pray all night? And I said, well, why? And he said, well, just never have done it before. I said, okay, well, what are we going to pray about? Why do you need to pray all night? Well, I just thought we'd pray all night. You know, well, one of the things you study in the context of Jesus is that he did it several times, but he always did it in conjunction with something that was going on in his life. For instance, before he selected his 12 disciples, he spent the night before in prayer. And so I think when you're faced with some large decisions, a great challenge, you know what, maybe something that is going on in your life that's a trial or a heartache or a burden, or maybe there's a satanic attack going on, but I think you got to be careful. And I told that young man, I said, you know, we got to be careful in this matter of praying all night. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you really want to pray all night, or do you just want to tell people that you've prayed all night? Isn't it amazing how our pride can sneak into anything if we're not careful? Say, preacher, did you discourage that young man? I don't know if I did or not. I went home and went to bed. And so, but you know, I wanted to teach him that, listen, that yes, there's examples of Christ doing this, but we don't do it just so we can go around telling everybody we've done it. We do it because there's a reason for it. But you know what? We can pray at nighttime. How about always? Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. How about this idea of pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, I guess we could summarize it this way. We can pray anytime. Okay, there's instances where some are praying in the morning and some in the evening and some at noon and some at night. And we're encouraged to always pray and to pray without ceasing. And that's kind of an interesting study. I've heard messages. I will tell you my interpretation of that. Because, you know, I remember as a young man thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if I could just learn to pray without ceasing, you know, to always be praying. And I tried it and it just didn't work. And you say, well, I pray without ceasing. No, you don't. You fall asleep. And so you're not praying while you're sleeping. But, you know, you have to, I finally heard a, a preacher explain that verse. You know, when we take a verse like pray without ceasing, what we need to do is let the Bible, listen, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so what does the word pray mean? The word pray or prayer means to ask, and ask without ceasing. And then you go back to the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, where, you know, that widow came to the unjust judge, you know, and she just began to ask for something and ask for something. And he said, you know what, I wouldn't even given it to her except the fact that she was irritating me so much. And so, you know, then there was the man that got the unexpected visitor in the middle of the night, and he went over to his neighbor and, you know, I'm already in bed and I'm asleep, and I, you know, come back in the morning. But you know what, because of his importunity, that's the Bible word, his much asking, he received, he got up and he gave him what he wanted. And when it says pray without ceasing, I think it's teaching us this idea of importunity, okay? That there's some things that we just need to go to the Lord for over and over and over. It doesn't mean to pray 24 hours a day, or, you know, I've heard people talk about, well, you know, that's talking about being in the spirit of prayer. And I've always just looked at them and said, you know, that sounds great. Explain that to me. What in the world are you talking about? Okay, spirit of prayer. Sounds good. But what are you talking about? Prayer is asking. You're either praying or you're not. Okay, you're in the spirit of prayer. I don't even know what that means. And neither do you, by the way. Okay, when you're praying, you're talking to the Lord. You're conversing with the Lord. And you're asking the Lord for things. And you're either doing it or you're not. And so I think that verse is explained when we tie it to the other teachings on prayer, and it says pray without ceasing. What it means is there's some things that you're going to have to go to the Lord for over and over and over and over again, and you exercise importunity until the Lord gives you that thing. So maybe that's a help to you, okay? So you can pray. You can pray at any time. Number three, you can pray by yourself or with others. And both are important, and both are blessing. The Bible talks about closet prayer, Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So certainly, the Bible teaches us that there's some things that we ought to go to the Lord about, and it's just a secret between us and God. And I love the promise that is connected with that, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so I think that there are private prayer requests or unspoken prayer requests, things that we have on our list that we don't share with anybody else except God. And there ought to sometimes be a private place of prayer. And the Bible talks about a closet. You know, for some of you guys, your prayer closet could be, you know, your vehicle or the cab of your truck that you're driving. You know, sometimes there's just these solitary places, these times in the day when you're by yourself and you're with the Lord and you're conversing with the Lord. And so closet prayer, solitary place. Jesus, again, gave us that example in Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, speaking of Jesus, went out and departed, I love this, into a solitary place and there prayed. And, you know, it's nice to have that solitary place. Again, we're talking about, hey, you know what? I can't pray because I can't get any other Christians to come pray with me. No, I got good news. You can pray if you're by yourself. We can also pray with others. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that solitary place, you know, when my first year, freshman year of Bible college, I think for the first time in my life, I really understood and exercised and participated in this solitary place. I had a job that was a second shift job, and I got off work and would get back to the dorms. I lived at Baptist City off campus at that point, some off campus housing. But there in the apartment where I lived with several other guys, right across from the parking lot, there was a little pond over there. And I just got in the habit of parking my vehicle, and before I go in, because the dorm life is the dorm life, okay? Really hard to find a solitary place, Brother Matt, in the dormitories, amen? But I could park my vehicle every single night and just walk over to the opposite side of that pond. I just had this little spot. And you know what? It was my place. It was my time. It was me and the Lord. It was, praying in secret, watching God, openly answer those prayers in my life. And it was, shame on me. Maybe that was way too later in life. I don't think as you're growing up in a Christian home, how much you were kind of rely and tend to, maybe all of us write a little bit on the spirituality of our mom and dad. And one of the great things, honestly, about, that next phase of life is it kind of forces you to kind of find God for yourself. And I've seen some incredible, wonderful, sweet answers to prayer. Not always gigantic things. Folks, sometimes it's just a small deed, just something you and God alone know about. And you come to Him. And then, as you see Him answer those prayers, it builds your faith. It strengthens your faith. You really get to the point where you begin to understand that you can trust your Heavenly Father, and He does keep His promises. And so, yes, you can pray by yourself. Thank the Lord for that. But then, of course, the Bible, and we won't go through all of the teaching, but the Bible teaches us that there's power in united prayer. In Acts chapter 1, boy, you read Acts chapter 1, we've taught this many times here, and then you see what happened in Acts chapter 2. Folks, Acts chapter 2 doesn't happen. I don't believe if the prayers were not laid, foundation of prayer laid in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary. And, when I think about that, I think about Wednesday nights at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I think about, at the conclusion of the service, oh my goodness, we've done this for decades and decades now. It wasn't Jerry Ross that started it. I inherited it. And, my dad was one that just understood the importance of prayer and just believed with all his heart that sometime in the course of every week, we need to have a time at Blessed Old Baptist Church where we just get on our knees together and just cry out to the Lord. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see the connection to so many things that we got to see happen on Sunday, how they were connected to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And so you can pray by yourself. You can pray with others. I love to pray with other Christians. I'm always blessed just to hear other men pray. And if now, sometimes after the service, I've got to where some of these young children, young guys are coming up and they're saying, "Preacher, can I pray with you?" Oh my goodness. That's some of the best right there. Just get four or five elementary boys around you and just let them take a turn and listen to them pray. And their prayers are so sweet and so sincere. And it's a blessing because they're usually so short too, They haven't learned that spirituality is connected with the length of the prayer yet. So, but it's just precious. To me, it's just precious to gather these boys around and listen to them pray. Some of you adult men, grab some of these young guys from time to time and just say, "Hey, would you pray with me tonight?" You'll get a blessing. And by the way, you'll be a blessing to them. Because not only am I encouraged by the prayers of children, I always think back to when I was a child. I'm glad I grew up in a church as a boy where they had prayer meetings. I'm glad the memories of a lot of the men that, by the way, are on that wall back there now in heaven, I can remember kneeling in a pew with them or sitting on a pew. Sometimes some of them were on up in years and couldn't kneel anymore, and I'd sit beside them on the pew, and I can still hear their prayers. I still remember them praying to the Lord. And so, amen, you can pray. You can pray. You don't have to bring your request to Pastor Jerry Ross and say, "Hey, would you go to God for me over these things?" By the way, I'd be glad to pray with you, but I want you to understand that you can pray. Amen. You can pray at any time. You can pray by yourself or with others. Number four, you can pray about everything. I love Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, did we just get done teaching about this? Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, there's just a peace that comes with praying. That comes with me taking things that I can do nothing about and maybe are causing me frustration or worry or anxiety, and just go to the Lord and just giving those things to Him and spending time with Him over those things. And the peace of God that just comes knowing that, you know what, maybe I can't do anything about it, but I just talked to someone who is not limited in anything that he can do. And I love that. Pray about everything. Every need, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Everything, every need, again, I just said it a minute ago, small, it doesn't matter. There's nothing too small for God. There's nothing too big for God. And I think He's interested in everything. You know, I like it when one of my daughters give me a call and they're, you know what they have? They have a little problem. Or, Dad, I hate to even bother you with this, but and it's a little thing. But you know what? I'm so thrilled that they still called me about a little thing, something that I could help them with, something I could help them fix, something I can give them a little advice on. I never have hung up the phone and said, well, why did they bug me about that? That was a little thing. I was just thrilled that my children reached out to me when they were facing a little thing. Sometimes if the phone is rang and it's, you know what, they're already in tears. And by the way, it's a big thing. And I'm glad they come to me with that also. Well, if I feel that as an earthly father, don't you think the heavenly Father gets excited when, you know what, he hears from one of his children? Everything, every need, every circumstance of life. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I like this portion of Scripture. Holy Spirit, our prayer partner. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Listen, according to the will of God. Sometimes I don't know how to pray about a situation because I don't know what God's will is. And so, Lord, I'll get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm facing a circumstance. I don't even know what to ask. I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't know what's right. And I love that, you know what, the Holy Spirit, according to this portion of Scripture at that point, you know what, I can say to the Holy Spirit, please talk to the Father. Because the Holy Spirit, He knows what the will of God is. And God the Father, of course, knows what His will is. I don't know how to pray. I don't even know how to pray about it. I don't even know what to ask God about it. I don't know. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit just steps in, and I'm glad that He understands the will of God. So, all right, you can pray. You can pray at any time. You can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray about everything. Number five, you can pray anywhere. Anywhere. You know what? I love this. Sounds like there's very few limitations when it comes to prayer. Isn't that exciting? You can pray anywhere. All kinds of places in the Bible where we see people praying. Unusual places. Jonah might win the award for the most unusual place. Out of the fish's belly. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So, hey, if you ever get swallowed by a fish, I want you to know you can pray. All right, and you probably ought to, all right? You can pray at church. Matthew 21:13. He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And I think one of the greatest titles in the Bible when it comes to the Lord's house is calling it a house of prayer. I just think prayer ought to be happening the whole time we're here. It ought to be just a normal thing, a natural thing for people to pray. Hannah prayed at the temple. She went to the temple and prayed. And you know what? God granted her request. Now, folks, I know you can pray anywhere. But there's something about stopping by the church. There's something about me leaving my office and coming in here sometimes when nobody else is here and just kneeling at this altar. You know what? This is the house of prayer. You can pray at church. Oh, we can read in Acts chapter 12. Remember Lydia and had her prayer meeting by the riverside? And then you can read about cottage prayer meetings in Acts chapter 12, where, you know what, they were gathered when Peter was in jail. Cottage prayer meetings, just, hey, there's a crisis. Everybody show up at such and such house. Let's pray. We see Peter praying on the housetop. Amen. I know that's a little bit different design of the house than we probably have today, but he's prayed on the housetop. By the way, think about this. You can pray in prison. You know what? God has answered some miraculous prayers from a prison when his men ended up being arrested for the cause of Christ. I guess 1 Timothy 2:8 sums it up. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And I think about all of the different places that I've prayed during my life. And first time we went out to Sistersville, West Virginia, and took a group of teenagers out there. Pastor Russell Biber and his wife Sarah and their family was starting a church in Sistersville. When we got there, once he got us kind of settled in, he said, I want to take you somewhere right away. And you know, West Virginia, you've been there, folks. It's, you know, that's what it is. And so he began to drive us up the side of a mountain right beside Sistersville. And then we all parked by a cemetery. And then he had us walk up the cemetery, okay? You don't bury them like this. You bury them like this in West Virginia, all right? And we got all the way to the top of the cemetery. And I thought to myself, he didn't tell us where he was taking us or why he was taking us. I thought maybe some famous person is buried up here. You know, what is he doing? And when we got all the way to the very top of the cemetery, he said, now turn around and look. And you could see the entire town of Sistersville laid out before us. And he said, folks, this is where I come to pray over the city that God's called us to. And you know what? We had one of the sweetest prayer meetings I've ever been at right there that day. Where? In a cemetery overlooking a city beside a man who we got to listen to pray and weep tears over the city God had called him to. I remember the same thing in Zacatecas, Mexico. First time I went down there, Mike and Lydia wanted to take us up over on the top of a mountain, and there was this little overlook, and he wanted to take us up there just as the sun was going down, and all of a sudden the lights of the city was on, and we stood up there and we looked at that, and he said, this is where we come up once a week just to pray over the city that God's called us to. I love that. I've had prayer meetings, I mean, every week when I was in Bible college in the bus ministry, we had multiple prayer meetings up on the streets of Chicago. And we'd start every Saturday by meeting our bus workers and praying with them. Where'd you pray? On the streets of Chicago. And then Saturday night, when we finished an entire day of visiting, all of the guys from our division would meet in one place. It'd be sometimes 35, 40 guys just meet on a street corner in Chicago and just get on our knees and just ask God to bless what we just did that day and the visits that we made. And one of the neatest, and I've done it in different places, but one of the neatest stories is when I was in Division 7, we began to meet at this corner and street corner, and there was an apartment building there. And every single Saturday night, all of those young preachers in training would get together and pray in that same spot. And the bus route that we met on was Lou DeFelipantonio's bus route. And we'd pray there every single Saturday night. Well, one day, as he was going through his bus route visiting, he decided to knock the doors of that apartment building. And there he knocked the door on the door, and a lady came to the door, lived on the third floor. And he asked her if she'd ever received Christ as her Savior. And she said, I have. And he said, well, tell me about it. And she said, are you one of the preachers that meet down on the sidewalk and pray? And he said, yes. And she said, well, I got in the habit of every single Saturday night, I knew when you guys were going to be there. You're always there at 8 o'clock. And I'd go over and I'd sit in a chair and lift my window and I'd lean out the window and listen to you pray. Now, when preachers pray, they also preach, okay? I'm just going to tell you, it's just a weird thing about preachers. You know, we got to remind God what the Bible says and quote it to him, and, you know, because, you know, God doesn't know, you know. Lord, you know that it says in Romans chapter, you know. So we preach when we pray, and so I think she'd heard enough of the gospel just by listening to preachers pray that she said one day, I just kept thinking week after week, I wish I knew God like that. I wish I knew how to know God like that. And she just listened to us pray enough to understand the gospel. He went through it with her again to make sure, and she said, yes, I've received Christ as my Savior. Folks, you know what? Prayer works. Prayer's an exciting thing. I can remember years ago having a prayer meeting down at Brother Tom Walton's turkey barns, you know, and I won't remember probably every detail as well as he could tell it, but he got a disease into the turkey barns down here and lost an entire turnover of turkeys. And then the next batch that came in, they thought they had gotten it taken care of and ended up with the same disease affecting the birds. And folks, we're talking about a man's livelihood. And he came to me at one point and just said, Pastor, you know, if we lose another rotation, you know, I can't stand that financially. We can't have them not take turkeys and not pay us. And we've done everything humanly possible. We know we've followed by the book everything they've told us to do, but we can't seem to get rid of it. And I said, well, let's call them in and let's have them just meet down there. And folks, yes, we laid our hands on a turkey barn, walked through a turkey barn together, and knelt in the turkey barn and asked God to help this good man and his family. It's nice to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, we're praying for somebody who has faithfully served you and faithfully sacrificed for you. And Lord, he needs your help right now. And you know what? Next thing, you know, next cycle, not a bit of problem with it. One, the next couple cycles, he told me later on, were two of the best as far as financial cycles of turkeys he's ever had. I think he wanted me to just come down every cycle and just pray, have a prayer meeting, so we could turn out mega turkeys or whatever, you know. But, hey, you know, we're talking about, folks, what may seem small to somebody else is a big deal in somebody's life. And what an exciting thing. You can pray anywhere. All right, two more, we're done. You can pray for anyone. You can pray for anyone, and we're commanded to pray for all men. That was in our portion of Scripture. You know, we ought to pray for the little children. Here's the example Jesus had. And then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. Oh, one of the greatest things you can learn to do, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is just pray for our children. You know, when a little child comes over to you and wants to shake your hand, or they're standing beside you, folks, listen, don't make a big deal about this, but I can't tell you how many times I just put my hand on a little kid's shoulder on top of his head and just in my heart say, oh, God, please, please take care of them. Lord, please keep the devil from them. Help them to grow up and serve you. You know, it doesn't have to be a big, long, drawn-out thing, but, boy, we as a church congregation need to pray for the children here. Jesus did it. How about this? Pray for our enemies. All right? That's not always easy, but that's important. That'll help affect your heart and keep you right, okay? You can't control what they're doing or what they're saying, but you know what? You can control your action to it. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. You can pray for laborers, and we should pray for laborers for the harvest. James chapter 5 tells us we ought to pray for the sick. It's okay to pray for yourself, by the way, Luke 22:40. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not to temptation. Pray that ye enter not to temptation. It's okay to pray for yourself. And then, as I mentioned, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're to pray for those in authority. Same portion of Scripture. We read that in our text. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. I think maybe the greatest thing that you can do for a fellow Christian is to pray for them. I think one of the most humbling things in my life is, well, to be made aware of the number of people that take the time to pray for Jerry Ross on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. I've got preacher friends that text me every Sunday morning. And every Sunday morning is their morning to go through and pray for the preachers. And they'll text me every Sunday morning and just let me know, hey, preacher, I want you to know. I mean, I'm getting to 7 o'clock in the morning. And preacher, I want you to know I pray for you. I pray God would use you today. That's exciting. That's humbling, man, to think that somebody took the time to pray for me. And so number 7, you can know also that prayer works. These are the great blessings of prayer. Let me just finish by reading you some prayer promises. Psalm 6. Verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. I like that verse. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That the God of the universe would stop everything he's doing and listen to Jerry Ross. Are you kidding me? Blessed, this is what he says right after that. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Woo! That's humbling, you know. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. Don't regard iniquity in your heart. Come on. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. But you know what, folks? We can get right with God, be right with God, confess our sins before the Lord, and then pray and know that it will be effectual. If it's effectual, it's fervent, and it comes from a heart that is clean before God, we can expect God to do great things with it. And he spake, finish by reading Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, I referred to this earlier, but there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet this widow, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, I love that little phrase, by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. And folks, don't give up on this matter of prayer. Don't give up on that thing that, you know what, sometimes you think, preacher, I've prayed about this for months. I've prayed about it for years, and it's not happened yet. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. There's testimonies all over this room that if we had time, I got to close it down, but if we had time, people could stand up and tell you about answers to prayers. But you know, that I'm talking about prayer requests that they prayed, not for a year, folks, not for 2 years, but they measure in decades. And, you know, there ought to be just some things that you just keep before the Lord, keep before the Lord. I mean, this is an unjust judge. We pray to a righteous judge. You know, a good and gracious judge. But you know what? Things don't always happen in our time frame. And God wants to test the sincerity of our prayers. And so this matter of importunity, continual coming, I think so important. I hope this has been a blessing to you and encouragement to you in this matter of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us this morning. And Lord, may we be a people of prayer. May the church here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, truly be called a house of prayer. Lord, we want to stop right now and pray for the next service. We ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us, dear God, that you'd, Lord, if there's anyone that comes in that's without Christ, whether it's in this auditorium, whether it's in children's church or primary church, we ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, convict that person, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For the Christians that come in, Lord, everyone has different needs and are facing different realities in their life, and I pray, Lord, that they would be blessed and helped and encouraged this morning. Lord, meet with us in a sweet and special way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.